Rohingya volunteers on the ground with the first responders, helping people to safety, supporting fire response efforts, and working to support relief efforts.
Aid rushes in as fire sweeps through Rohingya camp. It's Wednesday, March 24th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Australia down underwater. Another disease threatens a virtual South by Southwest. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Myanmar's military junta on Tuesday accused the leaders of the ongoing nationwide protests of arson and inciting violence and sought to justify last month's coup by repeating accusations of fraud against deposed de facto leader Aung San Suu Kyi. The comments come a day after the United States and European Union imposed new sanctions against the military leaders for their February 1st coup and the subsequent crackdown on the protests against it. At a lengthy news conference Tuesday, the military presented displays of seized homemade weapons and videos of street battles to argue that the demonstrators are violent and that efforts to stop them are justified. A junta spokesman compared the military response to U.S. police responding to the January 6th siege at the U.S. Capitol. The spokesman said 164 protesters had been killed in Myanmar's violence and expressed sadness at the deaths. The Assistance Association for Political Prisoners activist group says it can verify at least 261 people have been killed by Myanmar security forces, but the total is likely much higher. It also reports from their Twitter account 2,682 have been arrested, charged, or sentenced, and 2,302 are still in detention or have outstanding warrants. Several of Myanmar's neighboring countries have condemned the violence, including Bangladesh, China, India, Laos, and Thailand. In Bangladesh, aid agencies report a massive fire that swept through a refugee camp in Cox's Bazar has killed at least 15 people, injured 560, and displaced more than 45,000 people. These numbers are likely to rise. Most of the victims are women and children. Aid agencies are rushing to find temporary shelter for the survivors and provide them with basic relief, as we hear from Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
UN refugee representative in Bangladesh, Johannes van der Klauw, calls the scale of the fire catastrophic. He says he has never before seen anything as massive and devastating. He says teams are on the ground dealing with the huge rescue and relief effort that is underway.
We have so far confirmed 15 people dead, 560 injured, 400 are still missing, and at least 10,000 shelters have been destroyed. That means at least 45,000 people are being displaced and for whom we seek now provisional shelter.
Van der Klauw says he expects the number of casualties to rise. He says the majority of refugees are women and children. They also are the most vulnerable. He says it is urgent to find places for them to stay where they will be safe and protected. Cox's Bazar is the world's largest refugee camp. It houses nearly 900,000 Rohingya refugees who fled violence and persecution in Myanmar in August 2017. More than half of this population is children. IOM spokeswoman Angela Wells says the fire, which has since subsided, consumed essential facilities, including the camp's largest health center. She says the cause of the blaze is still unknown.
IOM teams and partners worked through the night to respond to the most immediate needs of those who fled the scene. Rohingya volunteers on the ground were the first responders, helping people to safety, supporting fire response efforts, and working to support relief efforts. In the immediate aftermath, government response services, including the fire brigade, army, and humanitarian agencies, rushed to the area to put out the fire.
The World Food Program reports it immediately provided emergency rations of high-energy biscuits to the survivors, and it will provide 60,000 hot meals Tuesday to affected families. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Much more on Myanmar and the fire in the Rohingya camp can be found online at our Twitter stream, VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook and stop by our website, voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Several dead, thousands of homes lost as fire sweeps Rohingya camp. Myanmar military junta blames protesters for violence as West imposes sanctions. Australian ruling party rocked by new sex scandal. U.S. Secretary of State Blinken to consult with NATO allies on troop withdrawal plans for Afghanistan. North Korea national makes first court appearance in money laundering case. Expanded coverage of these stories and so much more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as our website, voanews.com. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Widespread flooding is disrupting the rollout of COVID-19 vaccinations in Australia as thousands of people are forced to leave their homes. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Emergency crews in eastern Australia have responded to thousands of calls for help. The rain in many areas has been unrelenting. For the first time in years, Sydney's main reservoir is overflowing, putting suburbs at risk of flooding. Authorities are reporting once-in-a-century downpours north of Sydney, and thousands of people have been told to leave their homes. Near the town of Taree, a house occupied by a young couple was washed away down a river by floodwaters on what was supposed to have been their wedding day. The bride, Sarah Saws, told Australian television the property was swept away within minutes.
I'm lost for words. I don't even know what to say. Like, everything that we own, everything that we work hard for, gone in 10 minutes, and it was out of our sight.
Campaign group Greenpeace has linked the severe storms in eastern Australia to climate change and the burning of coal, oil and gas. The wild weather is disrupting Australia's mass coronavirus inoculation program. More than 6 million Australians are now eligible for an injection in the next phase of the vaccination rollout. Australia's medical regulator has approved domestic production of the AstraZeneca vaccine. Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt says the drug is safe.
This is a fundamental decision which locks in for Australia access to 50 million units of domestically produced vaccines. It means that the manufacturing process has been approved. It's safe, effective, meets all of the requirements from one of the toughest regulators in the world.
Vaccines made by AstraZeneca and Pfizer are approved for use in Australia. One of Australia's most senior medical officials, Federal Health Department Secretary Brendan Murphy, has said international travel into and out of Australia would be severely restricted for the rest of the year until global COVID-19 vaccinations are more widely administered. Australia closed its international borders a year ago to foreign travellers because of the pandemic. Murphy said life in Australia would get back to normal, but it would take time and patience was needed. Australia has recorded 29,196 coronavirus cases since the pandemic began. 909 people have died, according to the health department. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Happening now in Asia, anti-coup protesters continued Tuesday in Dawei in southern Myanmar, with activists holding a brief march in the city. There were no confrontations with security forces, although one person reportedly was killed when a military vehicle struck his motorbike. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's nice to have you with us today on VOA Asia. Today is World Tuberculosis Day, and doctors are warning that progress in the global fight against the disease has been set back more than a decade by the coronavirus pandemic. Henry Ridgewell fills us in.
Tuberculosis killed 1.4 million people worldwide in 2019. In 2020, the coronavirus pandemic overwhelmed health services across the world. In 9 countries with a high prevalence of TB, among them India, Pakistan, South Africa and Indonesia, diagnosis and treatment fell by an average of 23%, according to analysis by the Stop TB Partnership, a non-profit hosted by the United Nations in Geneva. They say the fight against TB has been set back by 12 years.
It's an impact on all the work that we tried to do, but also the finances that were spent, all the efforts of everyone. We are basically back to kind of square one of that time.
Like COVID-19, tuberculosis is a disease of the lungs caused by bacteria rather than a virus.
A lot of the people that are dealing with TB, doctors, nurses, healthcare workers, providers, were shifted from TB to COVID.
Hospital wards used for TB patients were rapidly converted into emergency COVID-19 units. As countries imposed lockdowns to fight the pandemic, TB diagnosis and treatment were again hit hard.
The ones that have a lot of difficulties in reaching the healthcare, and one of the reasons can be distance, can be money, such as, you know, poverty and other barriers. These things were actually exacerbated on COVID.
That means many patients are badly infected by the time they reach any clinic or hospital.
That's what a lot of the clinicians are saying, that they observe now some very, very bad forms of tuberculosis that they didn't see in many years.
Scientists say urgent investment is also needed in new TB vaccines and treatments. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
South by Southwest, the annual event in Austin, Texas that brings together technology, music, politics, and Hollywood, is happening this year, digitally, after being canceled last year due to COVID-19. Michelle Quinn joins us with the latest.
Help creative types achieve their goals. That is the stated mission of South by Southwest, the annual event in Austin, Texas that brings together people from entertainment, technology, politics, and more. But it was the organizers who had to tap into their own creativity to pull off this year's event.
It has been a very challenging year for us, difficult year for us. We have 30 years of experience producing live events.
Because of the pandemic, the city of Austin canceled the 2020 event 10 days before it was set to begin. The expected crowd of 40,000 people did not fill Austin's streets, bars, and hotels. This year, as has happened at other events worldwide, South By, as it is called, is entirely online, with most of its 500 sessions, 300 films, 200 bands pre-recorded. It is still set to attract 35,000 attendees, with 33% international, up from 25%. Brazil and Asia continue as the top draw of attendees.
The virtual aspect of the event allows us to reach new audiences, people who could never travel to Austin for South by Southwest.
From their computers, visitors can walk through a simulated Austin with its landmarks like the Red River Cultural District. Inside the Paramount Theater, they can attend lectures and concerts and use the chat function to talk to other attendees.
2 or 3 years from now, more and more event-related content will be delivered this way.
Another boon for being all digital? The musician Willie Nelson, who lives in Austin and has played at the event before, will speak at South By for the first time. There is a mantra the organizers repeat.
Trying to remind ourselves that within all those challenges, lots and lots of opportunities.
Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
That's our program for today. Thanks for joining us on VOA Asia. Until the same time tomorrow, continue with us online. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Look us up under our name, VOA Asia. We also thank those who helped bring the program to you. Our managing editor, Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.